Today we're going to talk about a better self-image, creating a better self-image. If you would go to 3 John, that's the Epistle of John. He says to us in verse 2, he says, "Beloved, I pray you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers." Basically, we have to be convinced that God's greatest desire is us to be successful. He tells us that His plans is good and is to give us designed to have a good future. But success is relative to us. To me, my success is based on my relationship to my wife, my relationship to God, my relationship to my children, and my relationship to you guys and everyone else that I'm involved in, and whatever that correlates. And I believe that I'm becoming even more successful. I have success, but I want more of that. And you should put your list up there and figure out. The problem is that we are unhappy. More people, or mostly people, are unhappy about who they are. They hate their lives. They hate the way they look. They hate the circumstances that they find themselves into. And so what they try to do is create this illusion of following after somebody else who in their selves are perpetuating this illusion of success. Okay? One of the stories I read this week was about Whitney Houston. And we all know who Whitney Houston was. And she was a person. She was a Jersey girl. Believe it or not, she was. And she really had a talent to sing, and she developed acting skills and everything. And the thing that she told her mother one time was that she became so disillusioned about the entertainment business that she wanted to quit it, because that's what it was. It was an illusion. There was so much shallowness in it that it really didn't correspond to having any real value. Although she was quite wealthy, although just she had everything that money could buy, she found that it was an illusion to her. And what she did to perpetuate the illusion, because she was allured by all the trappings of success, she ended up being involved in drugs. She was involved in alcohol abuse. She was married to Bobby Brown, and of course we know that through the years that relationship was quite volatile. Was she successful? According to the world standard, she was. But in the end, that success brought her to a place where she was in a hotel room and eventually drowned in a tub by herself. And God has something much, much better for us. He has something that He wants us to have. And we have to begin to understand that success begins with us and how we view ourselves. The world tells us that you need to be like so-and-so in order to be successful. Or you need to have this thing. You need to have more of this. Or you need to buy this kind of liquor so that you can look successful. Dress this way because you need to conduct yourself as being a success. You need to live in this kind of house, drive this kind of car, have this kind of trophy wife or husband on your shoulder, have all the bling that goes with it, because that is what success is about. And the truth of it is all a lie and it is all illusion. And we know this. But John states clearly that prosperity doesn't happen unless our soul, hear me, our soul prospers. How do you think about yourself? If I was to ask you, how do you think of yourself, what would your answer be? And I'm not asking for that. Would you exude confidence and know exactly who you are in Jesus Christ and what your call in life is about and what you're doing to perpetuate this relationship with Almighty God, who is our Father? Or would you humbly say, I don't know, I never really thought about it. I don't know what's in store. You see, having a good self-image breeds confidence, and that confidence breeds a forward motion in what you're doing. Well, I'm just a waitress. You're not just a waitress. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, working in a vocation that gives you the opportunity to witness Jesus Christ to people. How did you come up with that? Well, that's tying your life into the purposes of God. Many of us don't even believe when I tell you that you are supernatural beings. That's who you are. Not because I say it, but because God said He put His supernatural spirit into you, which dwells in our spirits. So you're super supernatural. And we have to understand that who you are, God has equipped you with everything you need to become. Everything. Jesus said, to him who believes, sometimes things will happen. Is that what the scripture says? Jesus said, for him who believes, all things are possible. Mark 9:23. What we have to begin to do in our lives is begin to read the word and agree with our Father says about us. And begin to look from His perspective at who we are. Because just as He said today, He is so in love with us that we don't need permission. We just need to flow in this. We need to really register in our spirits exactly what He says about us and believe what He says, because it's impossible for Him to lie, that what He says to us, like I said, I take out the names that are in here and I put my name in there. So when it's talking to John or somebody, it's Gary. Jesus is personally speaking to me in everything that He says through these scriptures. And He's speaking to you too. There are definite roadblocks that we embrace because we feel comfortable in that. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, that he is. Okay? What do you think about yourself? Well, I don't have that time. I'm so busy, Pastor, you know. Well, maybe that's a roadblock in your life too. Maybe you should start really thinking about what God says about you, what He says about your future, what He says about what He wants to do with you, and how your life is part of a greater plan as part of the local church and also to take this world for Jesus Christ. One of those roadblocks is put-downs, self-put-downs. And we're real good with this because this is where our excuses come from. This is where we say, I can't, I don't, I won't. And then we're putting ourselves down when we say that. We limit ourselves. Bless you. We limit ourselves in believing greater possibilities that God has created us to be. And so what we do is we constantly underestimate ourselves. And so we put ourselves down. And last week, remember I said that words that come out of our mouths, we curse our being. We curse ourselves because we're not paying attention to what we're saying about ourselves. And it's so true. God wants us to be aware of it. And because we're convinced that we don't have this ability, what we do is we constantly live in mediocrity. It's good enough. It's okay. God says it's not okay. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He has things that you want to do, but He cannot do these things because you're not aligning yourself up with Him and the way He thinks. We can't do anything about the past. The past is the past. But from this moment forward, we can purpose to begin to start acknowledging ourselves as not only a friend of God, but His children, whom He promises to prosper us if we do the things that He tells us through the Scriptures. You see, He's not asking for us to be perfect in those things. He's asking us to begin to allow those things for us to walk in so that He can perfect us in Jesus Christ. But He can't perfect us if we're not convinced and we're constantly putting ourselves down. Because we'll never experience the fullness of the potential that God has placed in you to come out of you to not only bless the church, but bless those who are supposed to be part of the church. Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. You're not in my shoes. You've not walked in my moccasins. You don't know where God has taken me from. And I recently, you know, with this mini stroke, I've had to really contemplate how I've abused myself in this confidence that I have. I don't have a confidence in my ability. I have a confidence in God that surpasses a lot of things. But tell you the truth, I got knocked for a loop. And thank God for my wife, because she was there to help build me up. I wasn't a woe is me type of guy. It was just that, man, this is, I want to do certain things. I want to have certain things to happen in my life in such a way that she doesn't have to do her things, put them off the side so that she can take care of everything that I do. And it's really something when you see somebody that you love sacrificing themselves for the things that you should be doing. And so what happens is people have to begin to understand that your life, where it is not where God is going to leave it. Just think about where you were a year ago. And you were kicking and screaming when God was trying to bring you through this stuff. And now all of a sudden the light goes on, you start seeing what God's doing, and you're embracing God now. You're embracing. You want more of God because you see that what I have been saying about Him is true. He only wants the good things for you. It's not that you're submitting to my will, you're submitting to His, and together I have the honor and privilege to help encourage you to become that which God has predestined you to become. But you have to make a decision about getting out of this rut of mediocrity. Do you not know that you have been predestined to judge angels? Do you not know you have been predestined to judge nations? If God has that confidence in you that at the end we will become this and do this, why are you wallowing around in what might have, could have been, or should have been, and start developing these things starting with your image? Yeah, you're starting here, but in a year from now, what is God saying that you are to become? And what are you doing to become that? That's agreeing with God. So stop with the put down. Stop looking at what you don't have, because that's the enemy. Look at what He can provide and look what He has done with you so far, and keep reaching forward for it. The next is a sense of false security. What do I mean by that? I mean that we become comfortable in the situations and the scenarios that we are in our lives. And we don't want to take the risk of becoming more than what God has promised us to be. Well, Pastor, you're so full of faith. You can do this stuff. You know, I see that you know you have a good job and it's got Benny's out of the wazoo and you're. I didn't get this job because they thought I was so wonderful. I got this job because God put me there. You have your job, whether you believe it or not, is a training ground for the foundations of your life. God puts you there. And all that you are, He's trying to bring out of you. But you got to trust Him that He's going to make your situation where you are presently something more bountiful. And He wants to keep adding to this. And as you proceed to become faithful in the little things, these little things, He gives you more. And I have to tell you, beauty will only take you so far. Education will only take you so far. But if you don't do the little things, you won't go anywhere. And that's the truth. You can be encouraged till the cows come home, but if you don't believe that that's what God wants for you, you will stay right there. You will have this security issue that is happening for your life in such a way that you don't take a risk. I'm so proud of Sean. 2 weeks ago, we talked about some stuff, and God just dropped in my spirit and said, you got to get your resume put together. And Sean, like typical rest of us, I'll get around to it. Well, he first stated that he's submitting himself under pastoral care, which is great. His family's going to be blessed. Now he personally is going to get blessed because he's taking a risk. He's staying in a place, and I'm embarrassing him, and I don't really care, you know, because I'm bragging on God about this. But that security that he has, what he has known, it is not what God wants for him, for his life, for the provision for his family. God is his provider, not him, not Wawa. And for the first time, I can honestly say, he's looking to God. He calls up yesterday, and we're out, and he says, Pastor, I need a favor. Okay, Sean, I'm waiting. What's the favor? I'll call you later. He calls later. He says, I know it's later. We're like, it's the second message on the phone. It's like, well, what do you need, Sean? So we call. And he's at Wawa. We call him at Wawa. He says, I need to know if we can do my resume. I'm like, oh, hallelujah, Father. The man has finally seen how powerful you are. You will work even through the heathen to provide for your children. And he has. And he wants to. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a healthy sense of where we are, but we should not become so engrossed in where we are that that's the end. God is perpetually moving us. Okay? And that's the whole illustration that he gives to us with Israel. They moved when he moved. They stayed when he stayed. And God is moving mightily in the Siskis family. And he's starting with Sean. Competition is another thing. You know, there is such thing as healthy competition. And it is. We see that in sports and stuff. And being competitive with other people. We're going to run over some. Because I'm not speeding through this. There's good competition, but what I'm talking about is the fear of failure. We won't take a risk because we're afraid to fail, and we only want to be identified with winners, right? I want to be notified about Alabama, right? Because they won the national title. They beat my team, Notre Dame. I can't stand Alabama. They're so good. They're like Dallas. You know, they're so good that you hate the team. Yeah, they're not, but that's okay. What happens is because we're afraid to fail, what we do is we allow the opinions and the accusations of people from our past to impede us from venturing forward. Why? Because what they're telling us about ourselves is true. Right? No, they're not. They're telling you so that you don't become something better than them. And God has said it's too late. You already are. You're better than what you think you are right now. Take the challenge. And if you fail, that's okay. What did you learn? Well, I learned this, this, and this. All right. Let's get you standing back up, dust off the knees, and put the band-aids on the scrapes and bruises, and move forward. Failure is not the end if you stop getting up. Jesus said, nothing is impossible to him who believes. God wants you to expand the potential that's within you, to develop this confidence, not in you. That's called pride. When you become so enamored with your abilities, but you have this confidence in God and what He does to arrange these things in such a way that even in your failure, you're moving forward. And we've all made boneheaded decisions. All of us have. But that stops. Because that's not how God looks at us. And He wants us to unshackle us from those thoughts that people have said and expressed against us. That's their opinion. If they want to live like that, that's their business. Our job is to be set free. Remember that song, Shake Off Those Handy Bands? I'm talking about the old days now. God wants us to have a healthy sense of competition, but in this competition, we always win. Because God's on our side. Always. Four, our memory. What happens is the enemy works in our memories and tries to remind us of past failures. He tries to paralyze us from living beyond our present estate. What we need to understand is that in this roadblock, we don't live past our estate. We look to that estate and work to get to there. What is God saying to you at this moment to get you in your plan, to move your plan forward? Because His plan should be your plan and how He's going to move it forward for your success in creating this self-image, this positive self-image, which you need. So these are the four roadblocks that we need to understand, that need to be jettisoned today. How do we go about building this? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think about, roll this thing over in your head. Think on these things all the time. Think about it. What's your thought life consist of? Does it consist of negative things? If it does, start thinking positively. Start thinking about good things. Start speaking those things that are not as though they were, and work diligently towards it. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Where are the strongholds? In our minds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Our obedience begins with a healthy self-image. It's bringing those vain thoughts and imaginations that try to paralyze us from moving forward and us being disobedient. The first thing we need to do is God has given to us is an imagination. I'm not talking about daydreaming. I'm not talking about having some sort of mystical illusion about things. I'm talking about an imagination, which is creative. Okay? The way you think about things is the way you live. And it's really true. If your life is disheveled, you're thinking life as a confusion. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Never accomplishing anything, never having a real meaning or purpose to your life. Your thought life is always negative. You're never progressing. You're agreeing with the naysayers. God says, I've given you an imagination. But He can't help us as long as we're not activating that imagination. How do you see what God is trying to do in your life? How do you view this? I'm not talking about prophecy or anything. I'm just talking about, do you meditate and begin to start seeing as God sees things? And do you begin to start speaking the way God speaks? This is not power of positive confession. I don't believe in that nonsense. What I am saying is, when we begin to get the Word of God speaking truth to our spirits, something miraculous happens in our lives. There is a transformation that happens. And we stop being negative. We start seeing greater purposes and greater plans. We can see how God has moved people into our lives in such a way to promote His kingdom. But it starts with the way you think. We think that just being involved in Christ is enough. You must be doing Jesus Christ. Doing Jesus Christ is becoming that which He's called you to be. We must see ourselves in ways that we never thought about. We must see ourselves in the realm that God is trying to get us to begin to see. Two, a new identity. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Deliverance is not just an action that happens. And there is a transference that happens. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and Jesus Christ picked us up when we cried out to Him and transferred us into His kingdom. All that stuff that was there was washed away by the blood. We are now have a new identity. And the way I like it to put it is, everybody knows what a protective witness program is, right? Criminals who testify against other criminals are then given a new identity to live someplace else and prosper. They create a new life. Jesus Christ has put you in to the heavenly witness protection program. You are no longer criminals. We were all rebels. We rebelled against God. And if you don't know what your identity is, you will live like you are a criminal. And eventually, your thinking doesn't change because you're living the way you think. So a man believes in his heart that he is. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I had these sinners. That's been taken care of. That's who you were. You're under a new program. And this program has given you not only a new life, a new identity, it has given you everything that you will ever need for this life. As long as you're thinking the way He thinks, talk the way He talks, and are obedient to His will. And we know that those who are in witness protection program eventually start thinking about the old days. They start thinking about how much fun they had. And then the next thing you know, they go back to the neighborhood, and then somebody recognizes them, and before long, they get whacked. That's killed for those who don't understand. You don't have any life back where you came from. Your life starts at the cross, and to go back to what He has delivered you from is suicide. It is suicide. We must spend our time at His feet learning who we are, what He has created us to be, utilizing those gifts and talents that He has given to us to become that supernatural being that He says we are. Fighting principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Taking captive this kingdom that is in rebellion against our God and our King. And this will only happen if you are obedient to what the King says and you do what He says to do. That's what that scripture is talking about. See, His plan doesn't mean that you get saved and that's the end of it. Salvation is the beginning. Salvation is the beginning process of you taking your rightful place, taking your throne of power and authority, and beginning to exercise it in Jesus Christ. Do you understand that the whole world is waiting for the revelations of the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ to be manifest? Of which you are. It's waiting. It's agonizing. It's in constant turmoil. Because only when the sons and daughters are revealed can God come upon this land and manifest His glory and put an end to this nonsense. That's the truth. That's what it says in Romans. So you have to spend time finding out who you are, cultivating this identity. 3 is setting definitive goals. Goal setting, you can't get away from it. If you are not focused on where you're heading, an unfocused life is a wasted life. It is one that is idle. It is full of excuses. It is full of stuff that is not godly. It has a poor self-image. It has an agreement problem. It agrees with what the world says, and it does not agree with what God says. I know people who can quote scripture, chapter, and verse, and their lives are in the toilet. They come to church, and you think that they're these spiritual giants. They leave church, and immediately the phoniness that is about them comes out, and they live the rest of the week like, I did my obligation. I came to church. I did God a favor today. I showed up and showed Him how much I love Him. Are you experiencing the fullness that God has for you? Is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fruit of character. I'm talking about, you know, becoming more and more like Him. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, we get knocked down, but we get right back up. We don't tell people how much we love them, how much we appreciate that. We tell them by the actions that we have. We do things to show them that we love them. Only then is that expression of love realized, and it's not really an expression. You know, it's not verbalized. It's demonstrated. That yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated how much He loves us. How much do you love God? Oh, I love God a lot. How much? What's your life look like? Well, Pastor, you know, I haven't been walking with the Lord as long as you. Nah, you've been walking longer. And what you've done is shot yourself in the foot, damaged your kneecap. You're riding a three-wheel bicycle with one tire. Flat. I mean, God has given us goals. God has set goals for all of us. And he relishes when each one we attain that goal. When I go to the Father and I say, this is my plan for this year, Lord, but your will be done. Whatever it is that you want me to do, stir my spirit to do that. And then what he does through the whole year is we walk through this stuff. We cross off the things that he gives to me to do. And by the end, there are things that I thought was important that never gets done. But the things that he says is important. My personal walk with him, my time spending with him, prayer with him, looking after the flock and seeing how he wants me to encourage you, pray for you, do those things. Am I learning? Am I constantly learning from his word? Am I learning from other men of God? Am I taking those things that are spoken into my life and implementing those things? Do I relish the time that I spend? Or do I make excuses that I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm this or that? You know what? We all have 24 hours in a day. What we set goals for is our priorities. And I like it one time Jesse was discipling an individual. And she says, tell me all your goals. Tell me what all your priorities of life is. So that individual writes all these things down, or 10 things. And she looks at, Did you forget one that's most important? No, these. Where's God? Where's God in your life? And that's where discipleship began. Putting God where he belongs first, not someplace out there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things we'll have to work on and get later, right? That's what the scripture says. Now, these things will be added to you. You don't have to work and struggle. They'll come to you. God will give them to you. So set definitive goals. Get involved in finding out what your new identity is in Jesus Christ and stay in there. Jettison all thoughts that are not God's. And begin to imagine yourself in better places. And finally, how we speak. James 3, 6 through 12 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse each other. Who has been made in the image and similitude of God? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. The way we speak reveals, or what we speak reveals, the contents of our heart. And how we speak it reveals the content of our emotions. That you prosper in all things as your soul prospers. Our mind, will, and emotions are contained within our soul. We need to speak truthfully to each other, but in love. We need to speak words of faith to edify, exhort, and encourage one another. It is not having a way about saying, I really feel your pain, I'm really sorry, and do nothing about it. Because if you love somebody, immediately you want to get involved. We get involved when God says to get involved. But how we speak to each other is important. How we speak to our children, the tone we use, the words we use, these are all seeds that are being utilized to put into their lives. And guess what? Those seeds will grow. And they will become that which we have said to them. We need to be very, very careful, not only how we speak to each other, but also to God's children. You see, they're not yours, they're His. He just gave you the honor of raising and training them, which stipulates that you must be trained in ways of righteousness. And righteousness always bears up under the pressures of life without excuses. And that means if we're communicating things in a negative way, we need to do what I did, and that was grab my children and repent to them. And I did. I repented to my children for not behaving the way God would have me behave. And that is the hardest thing to do, but it is the greatest reward that I've received from my children, because that really established a foundation of life in which that when I looked at my kids, and I'm not perfect, there's times that I've had to continue to repent because I don't have a handle on everything. And you're human and you won't either. But repenting is not just something you go to a confessional and talk to a guy who could care less about what's going on. It's confessing to those whom we've hurt. And we've hurt God because we're immature in ourselves. And we do things out of our insecurities because we're afraid. There's a lot of pressure that's put on us. But I'm here to tell you that God will take that from you if you give it to Him, and help you become secure in the way that you speak. And the way that you speak is the way He speaks to us. He speaks words that are comfortable. He speaks words that are loving. He speaks good things into our lives. He does things in such a way that He tells us to be quick to hear but slow to speak. Why? Because when we hear things and they rile us up and they rile our minds, we say things that we may not really mean. At least that's what the excuse I've used. But if we go back, we really see that the mouth speaks what's contained in the heart. I'm left without excuse. I didn't really mean it. Well, then why'd you say it? You did mean it. Because your heart contains this garbage. Romans 8:28 says, "And for we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purposes." Where we are today and where we will be in a year's time will be far different than what we thought. But we can take this promise, this guarantee, that God will turn around our bad situation, our hurts, our pains, our anguish, our betrayals, things that have been done to us, and He will turn them around for our good, because He loves us so much and He wants to see us succeed. You cannot fail in Jesus Christ. You cannot. According to the world, you may, but in Jesus Christ, you cannot, because that's not what God says you are. To have positive faith or negative faith is to believe something is one thing, but to manifest it is to be achieved through our walk. That's positive faith. And in walking this thing out, we elevate our thinking, we elevate our spiritual lives to a higher plane. Each step, we behold the glory of God more and more. Paul says we proceed from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and we're becoming more like our Father. The exercising our faith and believing is in believing in God's ability to complete that which He has promised in us. To believe in God, to have faith in God, is to believe that He can do anything and everything, and even so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Therefore, nothing is impossible to them who believe. to turn our lives around, to have a healthy self-image, we have to jettison the old way, get into the witness protection plan of Jesus Christ, and never go back to it. Jettison all the things that we've known and thought about in the past, and begin to agree with God, and begin to reiterate back to Him His words in truth. Father, I believe this because, and rattle it off. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but the Word says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's your strength. He's the one who bears you up. He's the one. He's the one that we ask, not everybody else. You need to know that your Father loves you very, very much. And He demonstrated this love by sending His Son to die for you. But you need to begin to start exercising some of these basic principles in your life. I'm not up here preaching because I feel good. I'm preaching it because He knows that you need these things and you have not implemented them the first time around. Now we're going around one more time. I want to encourage you to put those things into practice so that your life can be blessed beyond measure. And all you're doing is spending time with Him and becoming like Him. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, that You give us building blocks. That, Father, You have told us over and over again how much You love us and how much we are worthy. That You have forgiven us, O God. That You hold nothing back from us, O God. You withhold no good thing to the upright, Lord. Father, I just thank You what You're doing in the lives of Your people. Preparing us, O God. Showing us that there's still time in which we can repent and get this under the blood and become that which You have called into our lives. Father, be glorified in us, O God. Be glorified in streams, God. That we would grow up and leave childish things behind, God. That, Father, we are the warriors of the end time move of Your Spirit. That, God, we are kings and priests into Your house, God. And it is Your name, God, that we exalt above all other names. And that our knees bow today, God, to the name of Jesus Christ. Father, cause the wings of Your Spirit to fan the fires that are in our heart. That love, Your love, would cause us to become more and more like You. Burn away those things that are not of You. Burn away those things that displeases You. That when we look into Your face, God, we would see love. That we would see You as You are. Pure and holy, righteous and true. I ask You bless Your people this week, God. And really think about what's being said here, what's being shared here. Because it is Your Word that goes forth, God. And Your Word causes me to shake in fear. I am with fear and trembling before You, Father. Because I know how awesome You are. I ask that You show how awesome You are to Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If anybody